you would teach us the lesson you want us to learn. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind, Lord, there's great truth that is here for all of us. Practical things. Things that will help us. And I pray, Lord, you would just anoint this service with your presence. Do something tonight that would help us to realize, Lord, if we lost everything, what we should do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on the subject, the man that lost everything. Years ago, we had a deacon that was in our church here, and he called me up one night, and he said, I would ask Pastor that if you'd pray for one of the men at our church, or rather at our work. And he asked, I think he called me like as a Tuesday night or so, and he said, I need you to pray for this man. And I said, okay. And I asked what his name is, and he gave me his name. And he said, let me tell you what. I said, what can I pray with you about? And he said, this man is going through some of the most traumatic things I've ever heard anyone go through. He went into work this morning, and he said when he went into work, the boss called him in and said, this would be your last week at work. And if that wasn't bad enough, a little after lunch, he got a call from the hospital that his wife and children were in a serious car accident. He went to the boss and said, I have some problems that I have to attend to at the hospital, and I need to go and look after my wife and family. And when he got there, as he arrived on the scene, that they took him into one of the conference rooms there and family rooms. And he said when he went inside, you could tell the tension was there, and the doctor came in. They had a hospital chaplain. They had a few other people there, and they said, sir, we have to tell you this. Both of your children were killed. Your wife's in serious condition, and we don't know if she's going to pull through the night. And if that wasn't bad enough, while he was there waiting and kind of on edge, not knowing what to do, he thought he better go home. And that was before everyone had all the cell phones like we have today. And he drove home, and he thought he better go home. He's waiting on the doctor to call. He didn't know what to do. He was just so distraught. And on his way home, he drove, and by this time, it was late in the night. As he was driving around, and he came up to his neighborhood, he noticed that the neighborhood was all blocked off. He wasn't sure what was going on, and he thought maybe something had happened, maybe an accident there. And he started rehearsing all in his mind about maybe what his family must have gone through, what it must have been like. And as he drove around, he saw and turned onto a street. The police had it street blocked off, and he rolled down the window, and the officer came up and said, I said, I don't know what you're here for. He said, I live up the street here. And he said, well, what's your address? And he told him his address. He said, let me see your ID. And he showed him his ID, and he said, sir, I don't know how to tell you this, but your house is on fire right now. I mean, he went to work one morning on a normal day, not thinking anything about it. And before the day was out, he'd lost his job. He lost two children. His wife, he didn't know she'd make it, and now his house is on fire. And worst of all, he didn't believe in God. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Here, Job lost everything. He lost it all. He lost all that God had given him, but the difference is he did believe in God. You see, that God had used him as an example to the devil of a godly man. And Job had trusted God in the good times. It's real easy to trust God in the good times, isn't it? When everything's going well, you can trust God. You just know everything's really going good. You trust him. But the scene was about to change for Job. Can you trust God in humanly impossible situations? He endured a loss like no one else ever has. Yeah, the man that I just mentioned to you that we prayed for who lost a lot, he lost a lot for sure. But no one ever lost as much as Job did. His home was destroyed. His children died, all of them. His health was ruined. His dignity was over. His finances was wiped out. His friends and his wife didn't support him. In fact, his wife supported his, go ahead and curse God and die. His friends told him how ungodly he was. I mean, Job was going through it. I'm sure all of us have read this story. We're very familiar, if we know anything about the Bible at all, we're very familiar with all of those things. But I wonder, have you ever thought about this man who had lost everything, how he dealt with it? We know about what he had lost, but how did he deal with it? I think there's a verse that's the heart of the book. It's right smack in the middle of all this. That verse says it all about Job and how he dealt with it. Here's what it says. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job said, it doesn't matter if God even kills me, I'm not going to quit serving and loving God. God can take it all away. I came here with nothing, and I certainly will go out with nothing. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I leave. And if God chooses to, he can take it all, because he's God, it's his anyway. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let me ask you tonight, what if God took everything away from you? What would your reaction be? How would you react? I pray that would never happen, and I trust certainly that no one would ever have to go through. I think this is a very unique experience. I think this is an experience that was kind of like when Joseph and Mary had a child through a virgin birth. Unique, one of a kind. So anything that would ever happen to us in our life is certainly not going to ever measure up to what Job went through. But we will go through things. And we do have a God that realizes what we're going through and that loves us. And I want to suggest to you tonight that there are three reactions that Job had that all of us can have when we're going through trials like this. Our country is going through major trials right now. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but our government is supposed to be shut down. I don't know if it's shut down or not. Is it shut down, brother? It's not shut down? Personally, I think it'd be a good idea for a while. As long as people like in the military get paid. I wouldn't mind if some of those people up there who are fighting over all that would get shut down and not get paid. It wouldn't bother me. But then again, that's my own opinion. But here's my point. My point is this, no matter what happens, we can trust God through it. That's what the Bible says. See, it's easy to serve God. It's easy to want to live for God. It's easy to want to go on with God. It's easy to want to be able to do all the things that God would have me to do as long as I have the blessing. But what if God says, for a time, I want you to trust me through the difficulties? What did he do? What was his reaction? Well, look at chapter 2 and verse 10. We're going to take a walk through the book just a little bit. We're not going to kind of pull everything out of the book. Obviously, this message is centered around most of what's going on in the book. But look at chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says this. But Noah said unto her, that's his wife, by the way, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? I will suggest to you the very first reaction that Job had when he lost it all was number one, he looked up. You know, that's always the best place to look anyway. I don't know what it is about human nature, but our flesh generally looks up last instead of first. I mean, sometimes it seems like when we're going through difficulties, you know, we have to try to work it all out ourselves, and we work all this out. And I don't know, maybe it's just because, you know, we think, well, you know, God gave me a brain, I'm supposed to use it, so I'll work it out. But let's not forget, we need to go to God first. That's what Job did. I mean, his wife, you know, the Bible said she's, you know, she's really upset about the whole thing, obviously. Her children were lost too in this. The devil had taken them away, and I don't believe that it was the fact that God was like, yeah, we'll just take them all away. It wasn't quite like that. It was just the fact that the devil was allowed to take at least whatever it was that God had lifted away from him, his armor protection. And another thing, write this one down. You can put this on the side. Anytime that God removes his protection, we are going to be attacked by the devil right away. I'll tell you that. Because the devil has no mercy. But here it was that now they've lost it all, and Job, the Bible said that he looked up. What did he see? Number one, he saw God's heart. He knew that God loved him no matter what he was going through. He was well aware of the fact that though his family had died, and though he lost his things, that God loved him and was not trying to bring a judgment on him for something he had done wrong. I wonder if the reason why we wonder if God's judging us is because maybe we're doing some things wrong and we're thinking maybe it's time we're going to get punished for what we did. I don't know. But though his wife had turned her back on him, he knew that God still loved him. Isn't it good to know tonight that God loves us? See God's heart when you're going through trials. See God doing something in your life. Quite frankly, I believe that Job knew that he could look up because looking up would reveal God's heart. He just decided that, man, I need to look to God. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I have no idea. I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but I know I can look up and God will take care of it. I love the Psalms. I was reading in Psalm 121, and the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In Psalm 91, the Bible says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You see, tonight, whatever we're going through, we can trust in God and we can look to God and see God's heart through it all. Because we know that God's in charge. Job looked up, the Bible said he saw God's heart. But then second of all, he saw God's control. He saw that God was in charge and that God controlled everything. And in fact, can I get you to go to Isaiah chapter 6 for just a moment? Would you go there with me, please, just a minute? When you go to Isaiah chapter 6, just find verse number 1 and stop there. Keep your finger there in Job. We'll go back to it. But Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, let me set up the scene for you just at this one verse in Isaiah. The nation of Israel had been a thriving nation under Uzziah. It had been a nation that expanded its borders. It was massive growth. It was a world dominant power. God had blessed that mighty nation through the reign of Uzziah. Uzziah had now died. Things were looking pretty dark and bleak. The nation did not know what they were going to do. They had turned to the prophet Isaiah. And they asked Isaiah, what was God? What would God say to us? What are we to do? Thank God for a prophet like that. Thank God for a nation of people that would at least listen to what God has to say. And then we get to verse number 1. And notice what God's message was to Isaiah. It says in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, some of you might say, what's significant about that verse? Here's what God says. No matter how bad it is, no matter how difficult it might be, I just want you to know I'm in control. You see, the train that filled the temple refers to the fact that God occupies heaven and God controls the earth. In other words, he's the sovereign God, that he's in charge, and that we can bow down to him, that we can look to him, and no matter how tragic life might be and whatever we might be going through, we can look up because we know that God can take care of those things. And Isaiah saw that, and now we go back to Job, and what Job was understanding is when he looked up, he saw that God was in control. Maybe he didn't understand what God was doing, but he was in control. Job knew that God was omniscient, that God could see everything, and God knew everything, and God would not let anything happen to him outside of his will. In fact, the hedge is an illustration of that. That God removed it because it was his will for a time. Tonight, if you're going through something that seemingly is humanly impossible, look up. Just look up. Because God loves you. See his heart. And see the fact that when you look into his heart, see also that he's in control, because God is in control. American people need to see that. You know, I think the entire nation without God is really on edge right now. But God's people, we have a sovereign God we can trust. Amen. Look, man, we're sitting here, we're enjoying the singing of the songs and the message and just being together in the fellowship, because we know that God's in control. So number one, the first reaction is always to look up. Number two, write this one down. He's to look ahead. Look at chapter 19 and verse 25. Let's go there, please. We get to chapter 19, and Job, and going through this, and he processed this in his mind and all that was going on in his life. We get to chapter 19 and all the bad advice he got, both from his wife and from his friends, who weren't really much of friends at all. We get to verse 25, and the Bible tells us something about what Job thought in his heart as he looked ahead. Here's what he said. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." You know what he did? He relied on the promises of God. I mean, he knew that God's promises were sure. I love that verse when Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writes and says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You see, we can be confident in God. We can rely on his promise. Job relied on God's promises. He knew that God was his Savior. And he knew that Savior was alive. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. He's my Savior, Job said. I can rely on his promises. I'm looking ahead because I know that one day he's coming back. I know that one day I can see him and he will take care of me. I know that. One day he will come back and even the score. One day he will take care of all of these things. I know that. I look ahead. See, sometimes I think we get buried in the reality. We forget about there's a future ahead. He relied on God's purpose. God's promise. He relied on God's purpose. Number two. Let me ask you a question. Does God ever do anything accidentally? Is it kind of like an accident? Can you imagine God having to have insurance because he has accidents? I mean, we have accidents, don't we? Man, one morning I got up. It was raining. It was dark. I was in a hurry. I didn't pay attention. I did something really stupid. I backed into my pickup truck. Isn't that stupid? That was really dumb. I mean, I was backing into someone else's, but I backed into my own. Like an idiot. Wasn't paying attention. It was dark. The windows were foggy. It was raining, all that. Those are all the good excuses I had. That's the best I can come up with. Backed in, messed up the right quarter panel of my car. I sat there and cried for about 15 minutes. And had to go have my car fixed. I went to the police station that morning. I do kind of morning hours. I went to the police station just that morning. Just had to go walk in. I was sitting there and Tim was, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, he's our commander. "How's it going?" I said, "You really want to know?" He said, "Yeah, man, how's it going?" I said, "Well, let me just tell you what I did. I had just done it." And he said, "That's nothing. Pull the door shut. Let me tell you what I did." He started his car up. He backed into a closed garage door. He's never told anyone that. Now I told all of you that. All I did was laugh. He said, his wife heard the commotion. She comes out of the garage. She said, "Did you just do what I think you did?" He said, "Yeah." But you know, things like that happen. They just happen. And sometimes I think we kind of wonder, you know, when all of these things occur, does God ever mess up and maybe, "Oh, it wasn't intended for me," or "Maybe I shouldn't have done that," or maybe, "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that to you." No, God has a purpose for it all. Man, that's the good part that we can trust in. We love those verses in Romans chapter 8, don't we? Romans 8, 28. How many of you know those verses? If you've been saved for any length of time, that ought to be your retreat verse every time you go through something. Can I introduce them to you if you don't know them? Go to Romans 8, 28. Would you with me, please, in your Bibles? You get to Romans 8 and verse 28. God really helps me to understand why I go through what I go through. I get to Romans 8, 28. Knowing that I can rely on God's purpose in my life. And here's what God says in verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He knew that God had a purpose in putting him through something that seemingly was humanly impossible. He knew that. There was no doubt about it that God had a plan. You know, have you ever wondered why there's some people that God just puts through a lot and others they don't? Why it seems like some people just have it so easy and other people don't? I don't know. I can't answer that question. You know, I've heard about and read about, I read articles, and I've even ran across some books and read some books on some of this, and people say, "Why is it that bad things happen to good people?" I don't know. I mean, why did God call Paul to suffer like he did? I don't know. Why did Peter have to suffer like he did? And by the way, Peter did suffer. Why did he have to suffer? I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I could just give you quick answers. I'm sorry if you came tonight expecting some really deep answers on what happens when you lose everything, but I will tell you this, God knows. One thing you can do, though, is you can rely on God's promises and you can rely on God's purpose. We must see God's purpose in everything because there is a purpose. And I'm not sure, but maybe I've got this wrong, but I've said, "God, I know you have a purpose for it. I don't know what that purpose is, but by faith I want to be able to see that one day." That's how we answer that. There are times when I didn't realize when I was going through something at the time, I didn't see the purpose at the time, but later God revealed the purpose to me. My wife and I, we've been out here 30 years or so, almost, 25. We've been out here a long time. 30 years in the West, 5 years here, 25 years, 5 years in New Mexico, 25 years, about 25, coming up on 25 years here. Long time. But years ago, when we came out here, we didn't realize what God was doing. We had no idea. Now we look back and we see the purpose of God. Maybe you've been like that before. Maybe you're going through something and you say, you know, I don't really see the purpose of all this. Why is it now? Why now? But God had a purpose. Job knew that. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, I know he lives. I know that he's going to come back in the future. He's going to take care of these things. I know that about Job. Or about my God, Job says. Tonight, we can know that. We can trust that. We look ahead. One more thing. Write this one down. He looked within. Look, go to chapter 42, please. We get to chapter 42, and you'll notice that Job looked within. Now it's all done. The trial is over. Satan is now cast away, and Job is now once again the hedge of protection around him. He knew what God wanted to teach him. Because the truth of the matter is, he learned instruction first of all. Can I get you to look at verse number 1 of 42? Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. By the way, that's a very good lesson to learn. God can do everything. And then he goes on to say, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You see, he learned God's instruction. I believe tonight we need to learn whatever God wants to teach us, even if it is a trial. Don't you realize God has things he's teaching us every day? Every day. In fact, the psalmist says it like this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In other words, God's eye guides us. It's kind of like you might just kind of look and your eye says it. God guides us. He teaches us. There's a lot of instruction that God has to give to us. He knew that God could do everything, and he knew that he needed God's instructions. That's what he learned. Certainly didn't get much from his wife. She didn't help a whole lot. He didn't get anything from his friends. All they wanted to do was just see him just, you know, somehow just give up altogether. He didn't get any instruction there. So where did he get it from? He got it from God. He learned God's instruction. Write this one down. Number two, if when he's looking within, he learned God's comfort. Don't you just love it when God comforts you? There have been dark times in my own personal life that I've been through. Things that I just didn't think I was going to be able to make it. I didn't know how I could, and I could just trust in the comfort of God. In fact, there's a marvelous verse over in 2 Corinthians. I use it often at funerals. I love these verses, and people will always ask, where did you get those verses from? And they want to write them down. Let me read them to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, into the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what God says? He says, maybe the reason why I'm giving you trials is not because of you. Maybe the reason why you're going through some difficulties is not because I'm punishing you, or just because I'm trying to be mean to you, because God's not that way at all. He's a loving God. But he said, there may be the reason why, so you can comfort somebody else. You might be going through this because someone else is going to have to learn something through what you've gone through. Maybe the comfort you get from me, you can share that with them, because they're going to go through that. I've always appreciated people who have bounced back after tragedies to try to help others. I like that. I think that speaks well of the character of an individual. Some people, they get bitter, others get better. Job, the Bible says he was learning the comfort of God because one day he was going to be able to comfort others. And we don't read about the rest of all that entailed, but I know that there was some comfort that he must have been able to give, because certainly anyone that's gone through what he went through in life could certainly have something to comfort somebody else about. In fact, to be honest with you, I'm sure all of you have been comforted by Job right now. Maybe you've gone through a trial and you said, you know, well, at least I'm not like Job. Think about the multiple Christians who this story has been a comfort to, because he knew the comforter himself. Maybe in those dark, lonely hours that he was all alone with sores all over his body, and how he looked so awful and ugly, and how he was so despondent, and his wife didn't care about him, and he had nobody else, and his friends made fun of him, and they laughed at him, and they criticized him, and they were terrible counselors to him. Maybe in those dark, lonely hours was the greatest times of his life, because he learned the comfort of God. See, he was looking within, and the Bible says, I repent in ashes. Realize he wasn't anything. See, life is not about us, it's about him. And what he learned was that God was the one that he needed to go to, that he might share that comfort with others. So Job looked within, and we see that he learned God's instruction, he learned God's comfort, and then thirdly, he learned God's wisdom. You know, there are times when you just don't know what to do. You need the wisdom of God. I mean, there are times when in the ministry, I don't know what to do. Honestly, I really don't know what to do. I need the wisdom of God. There are times in my own life, there are times when I open up the books and I study out these passages and I say, man, I have no idea what they're saying. And I'll turn to the people who are supposed to be the theologians and the great Bible teachers of 200 or 300 years ago, and I'll read those passages and say, we don't know either. It's always strange, the passages that I can't get in, that I don't know how to explain, I don't understand. Those guys, it seems like they just skip those verses. Or sometimes they'll write something like this. Well, this guy said this guy said that. Well, I know that. I've already read what those guys said. Sometimes you need wisdom when it comes to raising children, don't you? You just don't know what to do. You don't know what. You have no idea. You'll get to know that soon, brother. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it. You're just not sure. Sometimes you need to know what to say when you go to work, don't you? You need the wisdom of God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. He heard God speak to him and give him wisdom. He listened, and God molded Job into the man he wanted him to be, because at that point in time, when he lost everything, he realized the only thing that he really did have that meant anything was God. I'm convinced of this tonight. I could be wrong, but I'm convinced of this tonight. I believe the reason why America is drying up economically is because we have relied too much on our money and too little on God. That's why we have no. That's why we can't get any credit, and our credit is no good. And that's why America owns that. You think you're in debt? Look at America, where they are. Our government's in debt up their eyeballs. I don't know what the percentage of debt is based on the income, but if you look at the debt income ratio and all those kind of things, all these ratios, you're going to find that It's way beyond our grandkids' salaries and great-grandkids' salaries. Look, tonight, we need to rely on God. And that's it. Job said it didn't matter. I know that there's no resource within me. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing there. I need God. And tonight, we need God. And I think sometimes the reason why God dries up all those coffers is so that we will go to Him. But I don't know what the future is for any of us. But for a man who lost everything, he had right reactions. He looked up, he looked ahead, and he looked within. It might be an impossible situation in your life. Why don't we take these simple thoughts here and plug them into our life and see what God does? I believe that God is showing us something pretty powerful that will help us. And if you're here tonight without Christ, I urge you to come and trust Christ as Savior. That's an impossible situation. You can't save yourself. You need a Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus. That's what he talked about, my Redeemer. That means the one who bought and paid for me. By dying on the cross, he paid for my sin. Thank God he did for me. And I'm thankful tonight he did that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you to work in our life. We need you to work in our country, our families.